prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Suderstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Attisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Maybe even medical? No. Hey, today's Friday, October 3rd, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Hey, crazy, crazy world we live. It's a mad, 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 mad world.
Yeah, it hasn't reached the point of anything like Mad Mad Max yet, but
yes.
Stick around.
We're counting our days.
Yeah, I know.
And but you would never know it if you looked at the price of gold and silver. Only if you're holding paper would you think, you know, the world is just a fine and happy place to live. The illusion created is certainly working for them. Gold today, a lot of pressure after the unemployment rate dropped. We'll give you those numbers here in just a bit. And it certainly affected the market. The market was down, tanked, and kind of stayed there all day long. 1192 on the day, down 2270. Did pop back from 1189, but pretty much it stayed low. And I have been mentioning for the past month or so, or probably for a little bit longer than that, that we could see it test 1180 for the third time. And but I expect that's all we might see. And we did see 1189. Silver was down 28 cents today at 1692. And platinum really took the hit of the day, down $43 at 1231, down almost 3.5%. Palladium was down $11 at 759, down almost 1.5%. The beauty of the day, the winner of the day gets the gold star, is the U.S. dollar, trading in the basket of currencies. The index up 1.07. In normal trade, that just doesn't happen. 86.68 U.S. dollar.
Do you know how
dollar?
Much that rise is? That's 1.24%.
Yeah.
The dollar rose in one day.
Yeah, and that doesn't.
And this is on the top. This is on the top of a 12-week cycle. The dollar has been rising.
Yep.
But 1.24%, and we're going to talk about this later in the program. The significance of that is. It's not what a lot of people suppose it to be. This is not necessarily good news for the dollar. A lot of people say, yay, the dollar's going up. Well, we'll talk about that later in the program.
Yes, and it's very significant. And the crude oil today is down 1.32 at 89.69. And the paper markets today got the boost based on the unemployment rate dropping and the number of jobs being created. 208 points, 17,009. So they got it back up over 17,000. The NASDAQ was up 45 at 44.75. The S&P up 21 at 1967. Even the 10-year yield is up 0.01 at 2.45%. So interesting day in the news. And, of course, the unemployment is the lowest since July of 2008. The rate slid to 5.9%. And, again, that is the lowest since the summer of 2008. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, it's the important part is the labor force, the participation. And that has actually is at a three-decade low. It's the lowest in over 36 years. We're back to 1978 lows. So, you know, even though, according to the household survey, there was 232,000 people found jobs, it's that people are not participating. People not in the labor force rose to a new record high. And that was increased by 315,000 to 92.6 million. So, you know, we scratch our heads. We were puzzled why you had this distortion of these markets. And it's just a matter of it all being rigged. It's a matter of how it's being reported. And we know the economy is not as it was in 2008. I mean, we don't even have the GDP to back it up. And when you look at how great the economy supposedly was in 2008, think about it. We were on the verge of a collapse then. So how good was it? It was a fake economy. Even then, it was not good building up to 2008. Again, the illusion was created, and look what happened. So where are we today? We're not in any better condition now. We're certainly and we talk about fundamentals on this program. How many times do we say, time and time again, fundamentals is the reality. We'll tell you the truth. I've been reading more and more articles where they're talking about fundamentals and how important they are when you have markets that are so rigged and are so computer generated. You have
fast trading.
This fast trading. That's not going to help you at all.
High speed trading.
It's not going to help you make decisions. It's the fundamentals.
I agree. Fundamentals for long term. Fundamentals for investors. For speculators, you can listen to what the news is absolutely in the last 30 seconds and make an investment decision on that basis and take your profit, 90 seconds from now or 2 minutes from now or whatever. That's speculation. That's ultimately gambling. Investing is about taking a longer perspective, and you say, okay, I'm betting this horse is going to win the race. It might not be the fastest one out of the gates, but this one has the stamina to go 5 miles, 10 miles, whatever it is in this particular race. This one will be there at the finish line when the race is over. So that's what we hope to do as investors rather than speculators. But, and you rely on fundamentals to make that prediction and make that projection. You mentioned that they had apparently 315,000 people had dropped out of the job market this last month. Is that true?
Rose to a new record high, increasing by 315,000.
Now, you know why that's significant is because it's hard to understand what that exactly means for this reason. Those 315,000 people did not just become homeless. One way or another, they're supporting themselves. They didn't just decide to take up a spot in an alley someplace, and that's where they're going to live from now on. They found a way to support themselves outside of the system. Now, it might be by theft, it might be by black market labor. It's hard to say what they're doing, but they found a way to support themselves. But insofar as they have dropped out and they're no longer registered as employees.
Might be government paychecks.
I don't know what it is, but I don't have an explanation. But what I'm saying is this. If 315,000 people are no longer registered in the past month as employees, then it follows that 315,000 people are not paying any income taxes this month. 315,000 people may not even file an income tax return come April, and the government is losing revenue. I can't see how that is helping the government. It's got to be cause for concern. If we're going to lose a couple hundred thousand people every month who are just dropping out of the system, that means a couple hundred thousand people may still have some kind of a job, but they're not paying income tax.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Sam is not getting his cut. That should concern him.
As I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
This should also concern some of the listeners. J.P. Morgan yesterday said that cyber criminals gathered information on more than 80 million account holders mm-hmm. as part of a massive bank this summer. It happened this summer.
Mm-hmm. They originally reported they had information mm-hmm. on 1 million. The report I saw today indicated the number was actually 86 million. It's a revised number. It's kind of like the government statistics for, you know, the previous economic quarter. They say, oh, well, we, you know, and then later on, 6 weeks later, they revise the numbers and revise them again after that. So J.P. Morgan is apparently doing the something. How can you, you know what, actually, J.P. Morgan is a big banking operation. J.P. Morgan should be very familiar with how you operate computers. It's an interesting question. How is it that J.P. Morgan could have thought that they had only 1 million accounts that were robbed of personal information, when in fact there were apparently 86 million accounts that were robbed of personal information? This is like me going into a two-car garage on the house where I live and not noticing that, oh, not only is my Cadillac gone, but so is my Ferrari. Right? How do you make that kind of mistake? I'm not saying it can't be. I'm not saying that, you know, they have to do a little fishing to find, but how can you find 1 million and not find the other 85 million? That's just bizarre to me. And it's evidence of either some sort of, it's strange, it's incompetent, or else they were just flat out lying from the beginning. They had some notion of how many they actually lost, and they said, let's not tell the truth.
And, you know, that included almost 10 million in small businesses. And, of course, you get names, addresses, and so forth. And they did deny that they, J.P. Morgan denies that the hackers got any account information. But, you know, silly me, if you're smart enough to hack into their accounts and not smart enough to get the account numbers, how good of a hacker are you? So, again, they're not going to say anything that's going to create any type of panic or anything like that. And, you know, the problem, you're going to continue to hear about this, where you're going to get these hackers getting into accounts and so forth. And that's, you know, hey, if you do business online and so forth, you're even more open to that sort of thing. But it's probably cheaper for J.P. Morgan and these other, like Target and so forth, Home Depot, just to pay if there is any type of losses, to see if there are any type of losses, then actually fix the problem. So they're not going to fix the problem. They'll just let
not
it. No.
Do you understand? Do you know why?
Yeah, it's too expensive.
It's not just that it's too expensive. Well, yeah, in a sense, it's too expensive. But what I'm getting to is this. If we're going to have a banking system, for example, that uses ATMs out at the local 7-Eleven, where you can put a card in and pull out a couple hundred dollars in cash. Right? In order for it to be convenient enough, or we can have ATMs spread all over the country, this system has to be hackable. It can't have a high level of security. It can't. In order to make banking convenient, where you can bank by, you know, by computer from your homes, the system has to be hackable. If you want to protect the system, you don't have terminals all over, spread out all over the country, where people can one way or another get into your banking system. You have to restrict access, and that's the key to maintaining security, and they can't do it, and also appeal to a wide audience of customers. But the lesson in all of this, the lesson's been here repeatedly, and the lesson is there is no secrecy in the digital age. If hackers can steal information from 86 million accounts owned and operated by JP Morgan, you go ahead and tell me how many accounts you think you've got that can't be hacked into. What bank can you point to and say, oh, they'll protect my information? Bunk. If you want your information protected, you'd better not digitize it. If you do, you are taking a certain amount of risk and even a probability. We've had a couple of these reports. How many did Target lose?
A couple hundred million.
I don't remember the numbers exactly, but what we are getting to is this. Hackers have probably cracked into more accounts than there are people in this country. Right? Virtually, at least on average, everybody's been hacked at least once, whether we know it or not. It does not inspire confidence. Right? It's the sort of thing you look at that and say, you know, I think maybe I better just start getting cash out of the bank rather than fooling around with a MasterCard, a debit card, whatever. And I'm sure that mindset is scary to the banking system. If people stop using digital mechanisms, devices to do their banking and pay their bills and whatever, government's going to have a much harder time of tracking us, controlling us, taxing us. Right? You go back to a cash-based economy or something that's more obscure than a credit card, and guess what? It can be very difficult for government to figure out how much money did you make and how much money do you owe. They want you to use the digital, and they can't secure it, at least not up until now. We'll watch and see. They're going to work on that. They may come up with biometric devices where your credit card's not going to work unless you put your thumbprint.
Here's an interesting comment coming out of the Joe Biden, vice president. He was giving a speech today at the Harvard Kennedy School in Boston, and he talked about the international order literally fraying at the seams. And he quoted some Yeats poem regarding referencing to Ireland. But then he goes on to say, he went on to allude to that the wolves are at the door of the United States and how the post-World War II order is literally fraying at the seams. Mm. And, you know, the international order that we painstakingly built after World War II and defended over the past several decades is literally fraying at the seams. So,
and what does he mean by that order? He means the order where the United States is number one and everybody else is at best number two. What's happening is that order is falling apart. The world, we can no longer afford to be the world's policeman. Our currency is no longer good as gold. It's slowly, losing its status as world reserve currency. A lot of things that the world has learned to depend on since World War II are falling apart. Mm-hmm. And that means the world is going to become increasingly unstable. And as it does, that's just one of those fundamentals you look at and you say, okay, what kind of currency am I going to bet that's going to still be here 5 years from now, 10 years from now, in a world that's increasingly unstable? Let's see, do I want to put my currency into euros? Do I want to put it into dollars? Do I want to put it into English pounds? Or do I want to put it into gold and silver? What's going to still be here 5 years from now, 10 years from now, in a world that is growing increasingly unstable? What's been here for the last 4,000 years? It's not dollars, euros, or pounds. It's gold and silver. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For your gold and silver coin needs, what's next, Melody?
Well, we're going to talk about the U.S. Mint and how many they've sold silver eagles in one day at the end of the month, September 30th. You're looking at 750,000 silver eagles once the price of silver just started dropping and the demand, even for this month so far. There have been 1,650,000 silver eagles sold. So, I mean, these are incredible numbers.
Over 500,000 silver eagles a day for the first 3 days of this
which
month.
Is it's powerful. Very powerful numbers.
And what's the lesson?
Take advantage of the low prices.
Some people are.
Yes.
Some people, a lot of people, as a matter of fact, are looking and saying, this is too good a deal to pass up. And they're jumping in on it at a rate that's almost, so far, that may be unprecedented. I don't know that we've never...
We had never seen this type of buying on a... You know, usually in January, you'll see big numbers, only because of the change of the year and so forth. But, I mean, as far as... I mean, we've seen some big numbers before, and it remains to be seen how it's going to play out for the rest of October. But what it tells us is right now, immediately, people are taking advantage of these low prices, which tells me there's lots of folks who believe that silver is going up. It tells me that, and even if it pulls back 50 cents, maybe even another dollar, it's a good price today.
Yeah, it's a great buying opportunity, and you know, some people who follow the markets understand that a big change in volume can indicate a big change in trend. Right? If volume just stays low and it just keeps on going at a certain price or down or in a particular direction, if the volume doesn't change, it's going to probably keep heading in that direction. If the volume changes dramatically, it suggests we have hit sometimes a high, sometimes a low, and the trend is likely to reverse in the near future. So, this is evidence that a lot of people believe we have just about seen the bottom on this thing and the prices are too good to pass up. And there's a high probability that they're right, and there's a high, you know, good chance that you want to consider their example, and probably, if you're interested in precious metals, you're likely to be seeing a price, you may be seeing a price difference that you won't, a price opportunity that you won't see again for a long, long time. What's next, Melody?
Looks like we have a caller. We can take Phil from Canada.
Hello, Phil.
Hello,
Melody.
Hi, Phil.
Hello, Melody.
Yes.
I've got a question concerning the world gold production. A friend of mine is concerned about some of the statistics that come out about how much gold is being mined and refined. I'm just in the World Gold Council keeps track of how much each country mines. The U.S. Geological Survey keeps track of how much is mined in the United States. Is there any reliable information available as to how much gold that China mines and where it's getting all of its gold that it's putting into its reserves? Is it getting it on the international market, or is it mining its own gold and then putting it in the bank?
I saw a report back when we talked about this on the program, maybe 6-8 months ago, I don't remember exactly. But the president of China, the premier, he was complaining that he can't even get accurate information on how much on the economic production in the various provinces in China. He knows that the people are lying to him. He knows they're trying to make things sound better than they really are. And this is the premier of China. He doesn't have accurate information. And I guarantee if he doesn't know what the real economic conditions are in China, he does. Even he doesn't know how much gold is being mined, where it's all coming from, and where it's all going. China is a strange place, and I doubt that anyone can point to numbers that are more than approximately correct, and I'll bet that most of those numbers are more guesstimates than they are accurate assessments of how much gold is there. So,
I mean, I agree, and I think also even if China does know the numbers, they're not going to release the numbers.
Yeah.
And I think perhaps this is the way the premier could, you know, say, hey, I don't know. So about, he knows, trust me. I think they know. But they're not going to tell you that they know. I think the World Gold Council, you know, I know Bob Chapman, he was never really fond of the World Gold Council. But it helps us to understand that there is a demand worldwide. That doesn't take a – just because we can't get accurate numbers – from China or India or whatever, we still see the fundamentals of gold and silver and the demand worldwide. We know Europe, it's difficult sometimes to get British sovereigns and Swiss francs because the demand is stronger. We go through cycles. We go through periods where there could be time where you can't get product and it's more readily available at another time. We see the numbers here at the U.S. Mint. That's why I refer to the U.S. Mint, because I know how that all works, and it shows a demand, tremendous demand for silver and for gold in this last month of September. These are indications. Interest is picking up. I don't care what the stock market does or any of the numbers. Again, if you focus on the fundamentals, we know the reality and the truth of the product of any investment. You should follow the fundamentals. So it is difficult. I do believe the world is buying more and more gold. Just because we don't have the exact numbers doesn't take away from that.
Some people are selling and some people are buying, and the question is, who's the smart one?
I mean, you're not going to have exchanges opening up like the Shanghai and all the other commodity exchanges opening
Singapore
up worldwide.
The
Singapore, I mean, you're not going to have these open up if there's no demand for commodities.
Yeah. Not just demand.
So those
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Phil, for calling.
Mm-hmm. All right, well,
And you know what, Al? we're probably the only ones that, and that's a great question, Phil, because you get a lot of distortions in so many articles that you get on the internet. And, you know, you can read it, and that's why you have to not only read things, but you have to learn to understand them. And just because you read it and it, read between the lines, and you have to pull back and understand the fundamentals in order to make sure that you believe what you're reading.
I was just now looking at a graph. It's dated. It goes back. It's the numbers here are based on gold at $1,600 per ounce. So the actual price today is about 25% less than it was when this was put together. But it said the total dollar value of the world's gold, about 165,000 metric tons, was $8,487,000,000. All right, so say 8,500,000. That's what it was. Knock off a quarter of that, you're talking a little over two. You're down in the neighborhood of $6 trillion worth of gold at current prices. That's a thin market.
It's very thin.
When you really start to look at it, and you say, wait a second, the government is in debt. It admits being in debt for $17 trillion. And at today's prices, the total gold in all the world is only a little over $6 trillion. It offers a little perspective, and you say, you know, this is a little bit from that perspective. This is a little bit like paintings from Van Gogh. There probably aren't that many of them around, and there probably aren't going to be that many more found, which suggests that there is an element of rarity here. And no matter how much gold they're mining, they are still unlikely to be adding enough gold to the world supply that they're going to offset growing demand.
Exactly.
It's just, you know, it's one of those things. It's just another one of those fundamentals. You look at it and say, okay, we're having a problem right now with the price of gold, but what are we going to see 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Warren Buffett made the point. He said, don't buy anything. Don't invest in anything that you wouldn't invest in if you thought the stock markets were going to close down and you had to sit on the investment for 10 years. If you don't think you can get through for 10 years without even looking at it, you're just going to put your investments in a little package, hide them over there in the corner, and we'll come back in 10 years and see if they've grown or they've lost money. What would you dare to invest in on a 10-year basis other than something like gold or silver?
In today's world.
I understand. Where would you go? Would you really trust a paper? Would you trust anyone? Doesn't make good sense to me. So, what's next, Melody?
Well, we got lots of time yet. We were going to talk about the dollar, betting on the dollar, how the dollar has increased 12 straight weeks of gains, the longest winning streak ever.
Yeah.
And you know, it has a lot of problems, and, you know, we were going to talk about what does that truly mean. I mean, certainly we've seen the markets, we've seen the pressure on gold, we've seen the stock prices rise, oil prices collapse, gold and silver prices collapse, but a strong dollar. We were going to talk about what that really means.
Yeah, we got into that. Something that I realized earlier today, I read an article from the Telegraph, which is a newspaper published in England, and the headline is Mass Default Looms as World Sinks Beneath a Sea of Debt. I've been warning people for at least 5 years now. This was my fundamental, this for me was the aha moment. When I read some of John Williams' work at least 5 years ago, it might be six, seven now, I don't recall clearly. But he explained at the time the official United States national debt was, I don't remember the numbers clearly, maybe $7 trillion. Right? Today it's allegedly $17 trillion. Williams back then, he said, no, it's not $7 trillion. I believe, if I recall vaguely, if my recollection is correct, he said, no, actually, when you calculate the debt according to the way it's been historically calculated in this country, the total national debt was at that point something like $35 trillion. Government said $7 trillion. Williams said, nope, 35. Since then, the government has elevated this admission on its official admission on the national debt is $17 trillion, and Williams' calculation is about $90 trillion. And then Congressional Budget Office came out, and also economist Lawrence Kotlikoff, and they've both agreed that the, including unfunded liabilities, the government's total national debt is over $200 trillion. And for me, the simple and perhaps simplistic way of looking at this is, well, let's divide the debt by the number of people in this country. And if you divide 17 trillion by 317 million, $17 trillion in debt, by 317 million, the result is about $55,000 in debt for every man, woman, and child in the country. Now, I'd like to see a show of hands. Everybody's got an extra 55,000. I don't know if that's what I said, but I mean to say 55,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country. How many of you got an extra 55 for Uncle Sam? Even if we allowed you to pay it off over the course of the next 10 years, $5,000 a year, right? How many of you can afford to take a $100 a week loss for the next 10 years on your income? That's what it would basically translate into. Can you afford that? And that's per person. Can you do it? Yeah, you might be able to. It's possible. It would be painful and people wouldn't care for it. A family of four would be in debt for $220,000. Their first year of the national debt would be $220,000. I don't know how they're going to pay that off, but it's conceivable that we might be able to pay off $17 trillion over the course of the next 10 years. We couldn't go any more into debt. No more MasterCard, no more bank loans. You understand? The government itself couldn't go any deeper into debt, but we could pay that $17 trillion as possible. But if the real debt is $90 trillion, which is John Williams' estimate, more or less, current estimate, I think that translates into, I ran the numbers back a while ago, and I can't remember precisely, but I believe it's something like $175,000 per person. We can't pay that debt. If the number is $200 trillion in debt, according to the Congressional Budget Office, it translates into something like $700,000 in debt for every man, woman, and child in the country. There is no way that debt's going to be repaid. Now, this is no small thing. It means, you know, as I said for years, what can't be paid won't be paid. And this is of enormous importance. It sounds stupid. It sounds, well, of course, what can't be paid won't be paid. We know that. That's obvious to everyone. But the implications aren't necessarily obvious. The implications are that because the vast majority of the national debt can't be repaid, therefore the vast majority of the U.S. treasuries and bonds that memorialize that debt, they also can't be repaid to the creditors. And that means those people who've invested in U.S. treasuries, U.S. bonds, they are going to lose much and probably most of their assets. All right? Because that debt is memorialized. One man's debt is another man's asset in this country at this time. And if the debt disappears, they say, oh, gee, we can't pay. Well, then guess what? Those of you that are holding bonds and U.S. treasuries, you're going to suffer a significant loss, and there's a high probability that once that loss occurs in paper debt instruments like bonds, that loss will probably communicate to other paper debt instruments like stocks. And the result, from my perspective, is those of us that are holding on to pieces of paper will probably lose most of the wealth we have trusted into those paper debt instruments because the debt is too big to be paid. What can't be paid won't be paid. That means most of those paper instruments are going to turn out to be worthless. This is, for me, a fundamental reason why you try to get as much as possible away from paper debt instruments. We don't know when that day is going to occur when the government has to admit that the paper debt instruments can't be paid. Could it happen this year? Yeah, it's conceivable, but it's not likely. Next year, a little more probably, but we don't know when this is going to happen. But it is going to happen. And this is one of those fundamentals. And when it does, people that are holding something tangible, like gold or silver, are going to say, thank God. And those holding paper are going to say, oh my gosh, what have I done? We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements, and we'll get into this a little more deeply and talk about this article from the UK Telegraph in just a moment. Please stay tuned. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I've been talking about fundamental insight for me over the course of the last 5 years, at least, maybe 7. The debt is too big to be repaid. All right? And I've been talking about this on a regular basis. What can't be paid won't be paid. And here's an article from the United Kingdom Telegraph. And it says UK and US economies may be on the mend at last, but that's not the pattern elsewhere. On a global level, growth is being steadily drowned under a rising tide of debt, threatening renewed financial crisis, a continued squeeze to living standards, and eventual mass default. He's telling you the same thing I've been saying for 5 years. The debt can't be paid. Now, it may be obvious to other people now. I was able to see this 5 years ago, and I'm sure there are people who could see it before I did. But the information is slowly getting down, and again, this is enormously important. You have to grasp this fundamental, in my opinion, because it makes everything else logical and irresistible, and the idea that the debt is memorialized by paper debt instruments. One man's debt, another man's asset. People are standing around, they're holding pieces of paper, and they say $100,000. They say, I'm rich. I got a piece of paper that says it's worth $100,000, and it's got somebody's signature. But you have that piece of paper in a world where the debt, the total debt, cannot be paid. It will not be paid. And we're not talking about maybe 10% not being paid. In my estimation, we're talking 80, 90% of the existing debt will not be paid. Now, one of the things they've done to get out from under debt historically is inflation. Inflation makes the dollar worth less. And if I borrow $100,000 over a period of 10 years, if there's a certain amount of inflation, by the time we get to that 10th year, I'm paying that debt with cheaper dollars. Thanks to inflation, I am effectively robbing my creditor, because inflation robs creditors. Deflation, on the other hand, enriches creditors at the expense of the borrower. If I'm a borrower, when the dollar is becoming more valuable due to deflation, when I get to the end of that 10 years, I'm paying more money. More money. You understand? Even though the numbers are the same, the purchasing power has increased. What he's holding, he says, this article, contrary to widely held assumptions, the world has not yet begun to delever. Meaning, they talk about banks and institutions and governments were deep in debt, and they tried to deleverage. They get in, meaning they tried to get rid of their debts. They weren't so deeply in debt. He says, no, that's a bunch of crap. They haven't begun to delever. That the problem, in fact, they have gone deeper into debt. And all this means is we're approaching that moment when the government has to admit that it can't pay the national debt. And when that happens, those debt instruments, the bonds, the treasuries, they become substantially less valuable. And maybe they're wiped out. We'll watch and see, don't know. But he says the only way to keep growing in this world economy would appear is by piling on debt. You can't do that. We live in a debt-based monetary system. The only way we can get ahead is by going deeper into debt. And we're already so deep in debt, we'll never pay off the existing debt. Never. It can't be paid. And that means all of the debt-based assets are going to be, their value is going to be diminished dramatically. Some of them will be worthless. A few of them will do okay. But the majority of them, in my estimation, they're going to lose 80, 90% of their face value. Government's gone deeper into debt to try to stimulate the economies that's happening around the world. He says England is plainly in a much better place to be than the Eurozone, which has imposed entirely counterproductive debt controls and thus far at least denied them the luxury of monetization. What do they mean by monetization? They mean if the governments can inflate the currency, they can monetize the debt. They can make the debt disappear. They can rob creditors by means of inflation. That's what they're talking about. Historically, big debt overhangs have tended to be dealt with via inflation and currency adjustment. That means currency wars. The natural market-based way of haircutting creditors. What do they mean by haircutting creditors? They mean robbing the creditors. Who are the creditors? The creditors are the people who have worked industriously, profitably in their life, and they have spent less than they actually earned. And as a result, they have savings, right? The people who have savings are the creditors. They're the ones that are going to take the haircut. They're the ones that are going to lose their assets if they're storing their wealth. That is to say, what they've earned over the years, their savings, are they storing their wealth in paper or are they storing it in something tangible like gold or silver? If they're storing it in paper, there is going to be a haircut coming for creditors. And we're not just talking about banks. We're talking about people like you and me who have access to pension funds. Those pension funds represent some of your wealth that you have stored over the years. You worked, you put in so many hours, you wound up making a little extra money. They put it into a pension fund so you have something when you get older and you retire. That's, you're a creditor, folks. You are a creditor. Are you expecting Social Security payments? You are a creditor. Do you have money in the bank? You're a creditor. You have money in stocks? You're a creditor. And every one of you are going to take a loss when we get to the moment when the creditors take their haircut. And the government refers to it, and this article refers to it as a haircut, but in fact it's nothing but robbery. And he goes on to complain there is no sign of inflation. All right? That you might expect after such an unprecedented phase of central bank money printing. And he's talking about quantitative easing in the United States and similar programs in Europe and other parts of the world where central banks have been pumping, printing and pumping billions, trillions of fiat currency units into the economy. And that's how they've been trying to hold it together. And it hasn't worked. Instead, what we've seen, at least to some extent, I know that there are mixed results. But if we look at the dollar index, and the dollar index has been rising steadily for the last 12 weeks, and today, again, it rose 1.24% in a single day. Where excessive debt, this I'm reading from the article, where excessive debt, and that's what we have in the world, cannot be worked off through growth. That's not happening. The economy is sputtering. Restraint of government spending, that's not happening. And inflation, adjustment will eventually be forced much more divisively through default. The debt can't be paid, therefore it won't be paid. If we can't reinstate inflation in this country, significant inflation, the government is going to be put in a position where it has to admit that it can't pay the debt because the debt is growing. Today, the U.S. dollar index rose 1.06 points from 85.6 to 86.66. That means the perceived value of the dollar rose by 1.25% in one day. Understand that? On the dollar index, the dollar rose by 1.24% today. All right? Now, that doesn't sound like much, but the significance is huge. The official national debt is $17.83 trillion. The value or purchasing power of those dollars just rose by 1.24%. Even though the nominal debt didn't rise, it's still $17.83 trillion. The true size of the debt, the purchasing power of the official national debt, increased by about $221 billion in one day. That means the national debt per person just increased by almost $700. You are $700, your fair share of the national debt went up by $700. Got a family of four, you're up, your family's share of the national debt went up by $2,800 in one day. But that's if in relationship to the official national debt. If the actual national debt's $90 trillion, according to John Williams at ShadowStats.com, your personal share of the national debt just rose by $3,700 today. Purchasing power. You're $3,700 deeper in debt today than you were yesterday. The average family of four has seen its debt go up by almost $15,000 in one day. Now, I know the debt's not signed off to you personally. National debt, you are not exactly a signatory to it. But you're the ones who are expected to pay it. And when you start to look at this, how are you going to come up with a... You just lost 15 grand. Your share of the national debt went up 15 grand if the national debt is 90 trillion. If the actual national debt's 200 trillion, as claimed by Congressional Budget Office, your personal share of the national debt just grew by $7,930 in one day. Family four up $32,000 in one day. Point I'm trying to illustrate is that as the dollar becomes more valuable, the debt grows. Inflation cuts the size of the national debt. Deflation increases it. Even though the numbers don't change, the value of the debt increases at a time when people can't pay the debt. This is ruinous. This is destructive. This is the sort of thing that can take the whole system down. And you can draw a very strange conclusion The conclusion sounds like a certain amount of sophistry, but I don't think it is. I think this is at least possible and even probable that as the dollar's perceived value increases on the U.S. dollar index, so does the real size of the national debt, the purchasing power of the national debt, and thus a day of dollar default is approaching more rapidly. If we had inflation, they're writing off the debt. If the inflation is 10% a year, they write off, what, $1.7 trillion per year on the debt. If we have deflation and the dollar is growing by 10% per year, we added $1.7 trillion in real purchasing power to the official national debt. And the point I'm trying to get to, and we'll be having to write an article on this, I'll get it in maybe this issue of American Survival. We'll see if it gets there or doesn't. I don't know if I'll have it done in time or not. But the implication is that as the dollar grows in purchasing power, as per the U.S. dollar index, we are actually approaching a moment when the debt can't be paid, the dollar will lose enormous credibility, confidence will fall, value of the dollar will drop precipitously, and the value of gold will rise. As nutty as it may sound, as improbable when you first hear this, it suggests that if the government were inflating, they have to let the price of gold go up. In order to get out from under the debt, they have to let gold become more valuable. Insofar as they're deflating, and gold is the price of gold is falling, and the value of dollars is rising, the deflation is pushing us closer to that day of reckoning when they have to say, oh, we forgot all about that, you know, forget about that debt that we owe you because there's no way we can pay it. I know this is a fast, trying to get all this squeezed in here in this segment. It didn't, you know, it's not the most coherent way to present this idea. But you'll hear more of it because this strikes me as a powerful insight. The dollar's increase in value, paradoxically, ironically, actually gives us more need, more necessity to buy gold. Price of gold is falling. People say, oh, well, you don't want gold because it's falling. I'm looking at it. I'm beginning to see it creates a greater sense of urgency in a need to buy gold and also a greater opportunity. Now, I know that's not going to sound, a lot of people say, again, that sounds like just sophistry, saying that just to sell some gold. I'm not. I think it's the truth. It just now just occurred to me an hour or two before we started the program. And I'm putting these pieces together almost on the fly as I'm talking about it. But I think it's a powerful insight, and if it's correct, again, now is the time. Buy it. Get all you can, lay your hands on it, and hang on tight. Got 30 seconds, Melody.
Well, I just wanted to, they released another info about someone else was beheaded by ISIS. I don't mean to change the subject, but that was just the main topic. And but yes, it's certainly the most perfect time to buy gold and silver. And give us a chance here at Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. It's going to be an interesting weekend. And
well, we'll be back on Monday. Good Lord is willing. Yeah. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. Money, money.